Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House. Boy, do we have a lot of news. And now I'll tell you, there's this show called The Beer Run. And it's been taking a lot of the wind out of our sails here. It's almost like they just steal everything we have to say on this show and put it on their show. I don't know. We might have to. I feel like maybe it's some kind of infraction of... would that be copyright? What would it be?
No, it sounds like a fun show. What's the name of that show? I'm going to check that out.
Hey, Beer Run. I love it. It's what we do, our shorts. And matter of fact, you know, this is supposed to still be our Saints primary main show, but in the off season when there's not that much going on or breaking news or things that we like, hey, we just got to get that out. We have the Beer Run that just goes out and takes care of those things for us, man. And you guys, I got to tell you, I have really enjoyed, and I know we're working the bugs out, but I have really enjoyed listening to you guys. It's funny. It's entertaining. It talks about this, but it also, man, some few other things that, you know, I've been meaning to try to that damn Boba.
I never thought I would argue about pies and cookies as much on a Saints podcast.
No, and what it also does is exposes certain people and makes you question whether or not by the time season starts, maybe we can find somebody who has better judgment than someone who thinks oatmeal raisin cookies should be a great cookie.
Man, I can't get into this again. I can't do it.
No,
I cannot stand for the slander any longer. Okay, you guys, respect oatmeal raisin cookies.
Yes, respect the cookie that has betrayed every 5-year-old that's ever accidentally picked one up.
With me today, Craig Wright and Dale Mims, as usual. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next hour, maybe even more, we're going to be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know. So grab a drink and sit back, and we'll talk some Saints football.
Hey, folks. All right, listen. I'm so not in the mood for you guys. You're blabbering on and on, okay? And it's enough, all right? It's enough. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, today's Monday, all right? So stop doing your stupid radio thing. And if you want to pick up where you left off tomorrow, at least it'll be Tuesday, all right? So just keep it down. Actually, don't keep it anything. Just stop, okay? Just stop doing what you're doing.
Let's start off with the saga. This thing that has been going on for so long that it feels like an eternity, and that is oatmeal raisin cookies. Oh, no, I'm
sorry. And I can't believe how many first round picks oatmeal raisin cookies cost.
Deshaun Watson, he starts off, it's, you know, there's like, seems like three teams maybe, then it turns into like, oh, well, there's another team popping in, and then all of a sudden it's narrowed down and it's Carolina and New Orleans. And you're thinking this might happen. Then the word comes out, he wants to go to Atlanta. Then I find out, which I didn't really know, he lives in Atlanta, has a home in Atlanta, is from that general area. And everybody starts with the narrative. Oh, he's from there. He wants to go home. And I was like, man, I get it. And then I stopped and thought about it for a second. And quite frankly, looking into the Atlanta really hasn't been a threat for a while. So I don't pay close attention. So I start really looking at their roster, and I realize nobody in their right mind is going to Atlanta. Nobody. Now listen, they pay you enough money. You're a receiver, you're a defensive back or whatever, you know, I'll go there and help them rebuild. But a star quarterback does not pick a team that has no support. Then they started trying to sell me on, well, he's going to go there, they're going to just wipe it out, get the cap back in shape and start fresh. And in 5 years, they're going to be no way. And I was convinced he wasn't going. But it turned into is just Atlanta, New Orleans. And I convinced myself that put yourself in his shoes. We are top flight NFL quarterbacks, best of the best. Mm-hmm. We are Saints fans. We love the Saints. We want to play for the Saints, but their roster is decimated. They have nobody. And Atlanta is throwing us off. Man, Atlanta has Alvin Kamara. They have Michael Thomas. They have a top five defense. All they need is a quarterback and a few other pieces. But the point is that easily put those pieces together. I don't want to go to Atlanta, but man, I'm a professional and this is my career on the line. That's what I'm thinking is he's not going to pick them.
Yeah.
He wants to pick them like we would, right? Did I pick the right pitcher? You want to pick the Saints.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he is going to pick us. Last minute, he is going to say Saints. And sure enough, he did not pick Atlanta as I predicted.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden on my phone, boom, he picks the damn Browns.
So what does that tell us, guys? That tells us is that it doesn't matter the roster, doesn't matter your hometown, doesn't matter your allegiance, doesn't matter what you tell people, doesn't matter what your agent leaks. It's about the almighty dollar.
Back that Brinks truck up. That's all
the guaranteed money he's getting from them. I don't think anybody else could have paid that. So all he did was string them out for as much money as he could. That this whole complicated thing turned out to be so simple. Dude wanted to get paid.
Yeah. Yes.
Unbelievable. Or very believable, I guess.
Now, here's the thing that I find interesting, maybe the most interesting thing in this is, okay, I'm one that tries not to judge people on allegations until it comes out. Look, a grand jury said, I don't see enough here to go forward with it.
Yeah.
That's got to tell you something, okay? But there's still 22 accusations. And I don't want to be that guy like, oh, they said there's nothing there, but come on, 22 people said it. So, okay, so I'm giving them benefit of the doubt. Having said that, this is still all out there. And this dude turned it into a positive. I mean, he literally just, Dale, he rakes the Browns, what was it, $230 million guaranteed.
Guaranteed, fully guaranteed, man.
And only one of it is guaranteed this year. So if he does get suspended, the money he loses is only $1 million.
Right. So, I mean,
like, so he's planning around all this stuff coming down, and it doesn't matter. They're still going to pay him all this money. It's insane.
This is how you know you have a good agent. When you can get some things done, you can get all these rumors out here. To make,
well, it's the same agent that got Michael Thomas all that money, isn't it?
Is he? Oh yeah, yeah. You're right. They have the same agent, and yeah, like that matters a lot, man. Because all those rumors and stuff out there, I have to imagine it came from the agent, and they had us all in hostage. We were hostage for days.
I want my time back.
Yes. Now, I will say that, like, I was completely eaten up by this, and it's just the way they drug it out. It was like, oh, man, there's three of us. It's down to two. By tonight, we should have an answer. And then, oh, wait, another team. So, okay, when they finish talking to that team, then he'll make a decision. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, I need the weekend. And it's like, he lost me there. Look, Thursday and Friday, I quit checking. You know what I'm saying? And, but the whole thing, I still go back and see how they worked this system. He never had any intentions to, and I hear people saying the Saints got played. Now, you know, everybody's used for leverage at one point or another.
Yeah.
But Atlanta's the team that got played. Now, Matt Ryan, who, listen, we can tease Atlanta and deservedly so. They're in our division. Atlanta's our biggest rivalry. At least that's how I think most people feel. Matt Ryan has been a class act his entire career. There's nothing to dislike about that guy. You know,
I can think of one.
But the way they did this to him, can you imagine? Again, let's juxtapose here, and he's Drew Brees, right? And we just like, hey, Drew, yeah, we have this extension, it's already, but nah, we, and just completely blow him off to the side.
Right. I know Deshaun Watson's ruined like three quarterbacks' relationships with their teams. Mm-hmm. Like Deshaun Watson didn't go to the Saints, so now Jameis Winston knows that he was a backup plan.
Yeah,
he didn't want to go to Atlanta. Now Matt Ryan knows that they were going to ship off of him at the last minute. Now Baker Mayfield over in Cleveland knows that he's a nobody. I don't know what the Carolina situation is. I assume they don't have a quarterback. So I mean, everyone in this sweepstakes has to know that the team's confidence in you is non-existent. Right. If they're willing to throw everything at this unknown quantity who is still dealing with all those legal problems.
One way or another. Okay. So if I didn't say this, and we're recording kind of early in the morning here, so I'm even worse with my memory than I normally am. But when I started this thing, people were suggesting it was mainly Aaron Rodgers and Wilson. And I just thought to myself, the compensation and the money we'll have to pay them, there's just no way. It's going to be too expensive. And never did I consider it being what it is. I wanted the guy. Don't get me wrong. Having said that, after I saw the compensation, I was just like, okay, that's too much. I'm sorry. I don't care how, let's say he pans out to be, you know, on the level of Mahomes. And he's already extremely good. So I'm not trying to say if he actually, but let's just say those two guys are the same. There comes a point where you just can't field a team around a player. They have to be transcendent. You can be really good and still need certain pieces around you to be successful.
Oh, you mean like Green Bay is doing with giving Rodgers like the entire cap and then trading away his top wide receiver?
Why did you just do that to me? Now I got to talk about that.
See, I thought we were going to go with the Drew Brees going 7-9 3 years in a row, but we shifted all the way over. We're very up to date here at this podcast.
But we just got to throw this in there now. Aaron Rodgers, I'm mad. Remember when they drafted Love? He was livid. I'm trying to win championships over here, and you don't get me no help. You just now all of a sudden it's like, hey man, come on, listen, we're so sorry. Here, listen, I love you, bro. Look at this contract. Go ahead and sign this, man. Show you our love. And we're dedicated to winning. Okay, boom. Hey, by the way, we just traded your best receiver, who's one of the best receivers in the league. I would lose my mind.
Hey. Now, is he a good receiver? Because I've been told repeatedly from Packer fans that that Aaron Rodgers does this with no supporting cast whatsoever. So I'm pretty sure Adams is terrible because of what I've been told about how great Rodgers is. So, I must be mistaken.
But to get back on track, let me get your feelings, Dale. Once you heard the compensation, $230 million, all guaranteed over 5 years. Now, here's the kicker. Because Watson knew that he will be suspended at some point this year, you don't get any of that back because they set up the contract where it's only $1 million for this season. Right. And it averages $53 million a year guaranteed for the last four.
Yeah. I'm telling you that the guy's agent is a genius.
Well, yeah, but what about the Saints? Like, if it was the Saints, how would you feel? Like, is the juice worth the squeeze, man? Would he have been worth it if the Saints did the same thing?
No, I mean, you have one piece of pie, man. And like that number it's like half the damn pie.
Right. Right.
You can't allocate all of that to just one guy. You have to build a team. And I would be really upset if we gave up all that compensation and then gave up all that cap money for one person. I would be really, really angry.
I agree. I think doing both is just too expensive. But yeah. I mean, the cap stuff, come on. Are we really talking about the Saints and cap issues right now?
Oh my God.
Come on, guys.
Listen, the Saints do. There is no doubt. The Saints set up contracts preparing. I almost wonder, you guys realize that NFL teams are required to spend a certain amount of money, right? What is it? 90% of the cap, maybe more.
Yeah. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. And so the Saints may be in a situation where they set up a situation where, okay, I'm going to set you up, Dale. We're always at the cap, but I know that I have 12 guys that they're just piggy banks. I just go to this guy, say, I'm gonna give you this money up front. Cause if they did this all up front and didn't set the contracts up where they could be renegotiated or restructured, then they would obviously look at how much money that, I mean, we 30 million over the cap. I know not exactly, but 30 million over the cap. Didn't we cut like 70? So that means we had $100 million sitting there. And if we would have done all of this in advance, we didn't cut anybody. Right. If we'd have done all this in advance, we'd have gone into the season like, well, the Saints have $130 million to spend. And then it's like, oh my God. I mean, but it's $130 million. So my point is, while I get what you're saying, and I agree with you, What if they did that, then got all the players? They would eventually run out of piggy banks. So I'm not saying that it don't mean, I just don't agree with the, it means nothing. It's just the Saints have, and we are almost out of piggy banks. Who else could we restructure?
Right. I mean, listen, we're down to redoing a Hurst deal. That's
hey, Hurst might be our starting left tackle this year. So right. Give Hurst some respect right now.
No, but he's a solid player.
He's a solid player, and he's absolutely very important to the team, the way the roster looks right now.
Right.
The idea behind this thing was renegotiate contracts that were for key players, like guys that you know they're going to be there, not guys who you don't really have a clue if he's going to be a starter next year.
Right. And the same thing with Cam Jordan. Like, as okay, listen.
Yes.
We were worried about Cam Jordan for a long time, for mm-hmm. you know, last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great end to the season. And boy, now you extend him again.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. Well, yeah, you're basing this off of the second half of last year. What if he comes back and he's just the same Cam Jordan the last 2 years before that little spurt that he had?
Now okay, so he was still a good player. No, he just wasn't okay. Cam Jordan.
I agree with you. But the same argument I hear all the time, maybe even I was going to say you guys, but maybe not. But I hear the same argument that, well, Davenport, he's not worth anything because he don't get 15 sacks. I mean, he only.
Well, that's the point is if with Cam Jordan declining, that's why we need Marcus Davenport on the field, because if Cam Jordan can be a productive, solid player, he doesn't need to have 13 and a half sacks because Davenport is disruptive.
I agree with that. The problem is that now he's making. What is he making now? And honestly, I don't know.
I can do.
But it's not a good defensive end money. But he's still a good defensive end player money. He's a great defensive end, but the production isn't always there outside of the last second half of the season. So I mean, that's concerning.
Just look at Armstead's contract. Like, if we don't get him back, he still counts $13 million against our cap in dead money, and he's going
to
be
even if he does. It's kicked in, right? I mean.
Well, if he resigns with us, I mean, we can do something about the deal, you know, and spread it out or whatever, you know.
Well, here's how it works, though. He's off the team. That money has hit. Now, if they resign him, they just have to. They do not have the ability to spread out that $13 million anymore. If he would have done it before the end of free agency, that $13 million, you just spread it out to the 3 or 4 year extension or whatever they do. You know, 2 year extension with a ghost year, however they want to structure it. The point is that's no longer spreadable. Now all you're doing is taking his new salary and
you know, and maybe he'll come for less because he's already getting that 13 from you. No, but that 13 hit. That's happening.
Got that money already. That's not real money. That's
that's in the bank of Taron Armstead.
We took that. That's part of what we can comment. He's gonna fall out of his chair laughing. You know, no, I don't think so.
My optimism is bleeding through this early morning.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the cascading effect of what the quarterback situation of not getting Watson does.
Oh, so exciting.
I mean, it isn't as exciting, but here's the thing. I'm going back to my old mentality. I'm like, you know what? If we're going to give all those picks up for, this isn't my old mentality. This is the progression coming down from Watson is, man, look, if we were going to give that up, let's just get us a quarterback this year. And then I realized there is nobody that I would want to give that kind of, not the money, but the 3 draft picks. Cause that's what it would cost you to get into the top 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, okay, just because you have the capital and you were you've shown to be willing to spend it, don't mean I don't want to spend it. So then I'm back to like, okay, who's available? Then I look at Craig. You had a pretty good list. Give it to us. So the 4 quarterbacks that you feel are the actual viable alternatives.
Yeah, and there's more. There's probably about 6, but in my approximation, there's 4 guys that I think if the Saints have them as starting quarterback next season are playoff teams. Now, a couple of these you got to trade for. That includes Baker Mayfield, who's burned his bridges and is going to want to get out of town. He's, you know, a backup essentially now. That includes Matt Ryan, who, while he's not being replaced, he's been shown that they don't care about him and that he's not a priority. So Matt Ryan, Baker Mayfield, Jimmy Garoppolo. I know I mentioned him earlier to the jeers of some of my co-hosts over here. There he is. Oh, Dave's not feeling well again.
Fish is acting up again.
And not feeling well. Jimmy Garoppolo is a proven winner and available for trade. And the only guy that you don't have to trade for is the guy that I think most of the Saints fans want anyway, and that's Jameis Winston.
But is that bridge burned?
No. That's the thing. It's a similar situation to those guys, Ryan and Mayfield, where we tried to replace him and failed.
Dale, give me your take on is that bridge burned with Winston. Go ahead and give me that take.
I mean, it's absolutely disrespectful. It's what I read from with Josina Anderson, what it said, they actually gave him an offer, and Winston's response was, I feel like I'm a starting quarterback. So my assumption is they gave him an offer for like a backup kind of deal, like maybe Taysom Hill kind of money or something like that. And he's looking at it like, no, this is not what I'm worth. And so now he's fielding offers, talking about Indianapolis or somewhere else. Like, hey, I just think now the bridge is burned. I'll be honest, Jameis, you should probably get another agent, bro, because like, the hype should be a lot more for you, especially considering, you know, Mr. Trubisky got a contract the first day of free agency.
Shoot, like, it wasn't even first day. It was the pre-free agency.
Yeah.
I mean, they...
Yeah, you gotta get a new hype man, bro. Like,
well, Jameis, you gotta understand. He got hurt last year. It was a major injury. Yeah, we see that he's recovering well, but he had a major injury last year. He didn't play the year before that. He was a backup.
Yeah, the injury thing.
And the last year he played a full season, he threw 30 interceptions. There's plenty of reasons to not want him as your quarterback.
I don't buy the injury thing because we gave a safety, Marcus May, a contract coming off of the Achilles. Like,
yeah, but we had a quota of Marcuses on defense, and we needed to just sign a Marcus somewhere.
Wow, that's a good point there, Dale. That's a very good point. Listen, my take on it is, man, get out of here with the okay, you may feel you're a starting quarterback, but you don't get to determine that. I feel like I should make $500,000 a year, but my boss disagrees with me. You know what I'm saying? So the NFL has spoken. The Saints showed him his worth. If the Saints would have felt like he was look at where the Saints are. Look what we did for Watson. That means the Saints realize if we have a quarterback, we can, you can't give all that up and not feel like you have a chance to win.
But what is it that I'm watching where I see Wentz get a team to try to trade for him and bring him in, and any of this rumors about Jimmy G and
now that's a good argument too.
Like, okay. What am I watching every week where I think Jameis Winston is on a higher level than these guys, and the NFL totally disagrees with that?
You guys keep making good points, and the point I keep going back to, which I think is a good point, but then you're making very good argument. I'm going back to the point is the NFL has spoken, but you're saying, what is the NFL seeing? Because I'm saying Jameis Winston, you're saying, whoa, slow down. Let's talk Mitch Trubisky. Let's talk Wentz. Let's talk these other guys. Let's talk Baker Mayfield. Last night, I went and compared Baker Mayfield because there was somebody sent a tweet out. Some Saints media guy sent a tweet out saying, go get Baker right now. I compared him and Jameis's statistics. They're about the same. And that's when I came to the conclusion that Craig came to. All these guys, they're the same guy. They're B-level quarterbacks, yeah. Right? Jameis, you want to believe that he still has some potential to improve. He's still young. He's still, you know, and same. And all the stuff we said, the Tampa Bay years, all the coaches, all the changes.
Yes.
But let's also look with the Saints. When I'm sorry, I can't get past when Trevor Siemian came in the game in Tampa Bay and all of a sudden the offense started clicking. Now, don't get me – and you can say, don't get me wrong, because I don't think that Simeon's great. I do think he's a very good backup. But when you're saying, wow, things look better with him than they did with the starting quarterback, that right there, that shouldn't happen. And so there's this whole element of Jameis Winston's game that I started realizing, man, all these things you thought the receivers were bad, which they are, but how can you not hit these 5- and 7-yard passes for a first down, just move the chains a little bit? He has issues with his short – passing game and timing. So he has an amazing deep ball. He has an amazing downfield game and is weak in the shorter game. And that's the move the downs, move the chains game. So,
you know, with Carmichael taking over too, right? There might be a bit of, he wants to make sure that the guy they bring in is specific to what he wants to do, because Sean Payton's not here anymore. Sean Payton's voice is gone. So if Carmichael had any kind of disagreement with Payton about the Jameis Winston fit, now this is his opportunity to say, no, I don't think he fits this offense.
Right.
I think a guy like Mayfield or Garoppolo that we keep hearing about, I think that fits our system better. That might be just a statement to say, this is my guy. This is how we're doing it.
Also, if you look at the fact that Bruce Arians, what is Bruce Arians' offense is known for? And I'm asking a rhetorical question. Isn't it the downfield passing game?
Right.
Yes, sir.
All of a sudden, here comes Jameis. And what does everybody hear? Oh, well, you know, Jameis, and they're creating this offense for him, and he failed in it miserably, right? So
I mean, he threw 30 touchdowns and 5,000 yards.
I mean, 30 interceptions. Okay, maybe miserably is the wrong way to say it. But he had some struggles with just throwing the ball downfield in a downfield passing offense. And now he's being asked to play a game that's more of short to intermediate. And all I'm doing is really supporting your argument is that a team, I thought that we might see Pittsburgh interested in him, because Pittsburgh likes to run that thing where you just chunking the ball way downfield.
Big receiver.
The Saints and Carmichael might be trying to get more back to that West Coast type offense and just say, we cannot rehabilitate Jameis in this offense if we're going to run our offense. But maybe Baker Mayfield, who I'm not advocating for in any way, honestly, but maybe Baker Mayfield might be a guy we can rehabilitate in that style of offense.
Yeah, maybe that's the deal. I saw somebody say something like Baker's career path is eerily similar to Breeze's.
Yeah, I saw that too,
or something like that.
The numbers are pretty eerie.
Yeah. So, hey, now that I think about it, that's another guy we gave a contract to coming off a bum arm, so injury, right? So Breeze. So that's another thing. I don't know. I still have a hard time judging Jameis off of last year because we had no weapons.
No, I agree.
And the offensive line was garbage too.
Listen, I want to say this too, because I know there are a lot of people who really support Jameis, and I do too, but I can't help but say, man, we got to discuss the whole thing here. We can't just sit here and sugarcoat it. We get Jameis back and a few weapons and all of a sudden everything's great, because that argument, just to me, I can go back to the Tampa Bay, the same offense. True. Like I think he did a lot of good things, but I think the primary thing, and I'm just basically piggybacking on what you guys said, is the style of offense. He may not fit that style of offense. And if Carmichael's like, look, man, I'm not willing to go to this hybrid offense that's downfield passing all the time, I'm not comfortable with it. They may feel that they would rather go with a guy who's more accurate in that short to intermediate passing than a guy that just got the cannon arm. Because, I mean, I tell you what, listen, I've said some negative things about Jameis's game, but that deep passing game is unmatched. It's unbelievable. The problem is that you need a third and four, and you're struggling to get it.
Right, yeah. I guess my problem is I know how the Saints feel now, and it's different than I feel. And so now I'm wondering, what's the plan? Because who fits at this point now?
Look, you know? And that the biggest sign that any of us could have possibly had was how aggressive the Saints were in trying to replace him.
Yes.
That should tell us more than anything we could have watched on the field.
No, 100%. And then I started going down this path, and it obviously went somewhere else. Is the NFL has spoken too, you know, like Indianapolis, you're just like, oh, well, now he's talking to Indianapolis.
Indianapolis is going after Mayfield.
So my point is you know, James, like, I feel like I'm a starter in this league, and he wants, maybe I'm sure he's not asking for top or even intermediate starter money, but that whole thing we were talking about, $18 million, my thing, right. I literally, we hadn't done a BS and beer, and I wanted to come on you guys' show so I could get my prediction out, and I never got a chance to. And it was wrong. It was wrong. So
yeah,
I'm very smart because I never could get the timing down to present it to the people. But the point is, they were not giving Jameis Winston $18 million. Yeah. I had even gotten to the point where I'm like, man, but what if it's $25 million, you know, because of the contracts.
That's where I was. Yeah.
And the rest of the NFL is saying, no, they're trading for, they're signing Mitch Trubisky right out of the gate. Yeah. They're trading for Wentz. Mm-hmm. Man, Jameis, you can want one hand and what's the saying, and you can shit in the other and see which one fills up first, you know? Mm-hmm. So the NFL has spoken. Jameis can be upset. And as far as him feeling a certain kind of way, he has to feel a certain kind of way about the entire league, not the Saints. The Saints have just said this, the same thing everybody else says, man, we love you, man, but here's what we feel you're worth. And he's like, man, I feel like I'm worth more. So you go to free agency, and everybody talking about, I heard somebody saying, oh, the Saints have to pay for this. If they want Winston now, they're going to give extra money. I mean, I feel like the NFL just said, you ain't worth all that.
Yeah, the price is dropping. The
price is going down.
The price is dropping. Actually, I think it was Nick Underhill who said that. And I tell you what, my thoughts are usually in lockstep with his. He's very reasonable, but I completely disagreed with that comment. It's like his price. Jameis coming back to the Saints, like, oh well, you're gonna have to give me a couple of million more now. Oh, man, we just go get this guy or that guy. Well, if you're gonna put yourself in the same price range as these other guys, then we might as well get them. Mm-hmm. You know, so he hasn't. Oh my God. Okay, so we still haven't got, there's so much to talk about, but what does all this mean? Here's the next thing is that you would think as hard as they went after Watson, this might say that the Saints just believe he was a transcendent player, not that he was a guy, we want this guy. Because why haven't they gotten another deal done yet? Why haven't they said, okay, that didn't work, next afternoon, all the other teams right into free agency, oh, hey, I want this, this, and this, and this. We haven't heard a peep about them saying now they're trying to trade for Mayfield. Now they're trying to, they have no quarterback. Okay. Yeah. Book, Taysom's injured. Book is our only quarterback right now. And the Saints do not seem to be going after him.
And your favorite player, Trevor Siemian, is a free agent now too.
I mean, you make jokes, but at some point we can be like, I hope we can get Trevor. You think we can get him back? We've kind of hurt his feelings. Maybe we got to pay him more now. You know what I mean? What's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. I have no idea what we're doing at quarterback, which is freaking scary to me. It really is scary. I need a direction right away before I can feel better about this thing.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower that this fully armed and operational
podcast.
All right, Malcolm Jenkins. I haven't seen this yet, but I saw something that he reworked his contract to league minimum, his salary. Have you guys seen anything about that?
He did rework his deal. I'm trying to think of the other guy that did it, but yeah, he went to pretty much the league minimum.
Veteran minimum.
Right.
I've heard that this might be he's preparing for retirement. And so I don't know why you don't just retire unless he is saying, hey, I'm gonna play one more year, then retire. And so somehow or another, it could have been the Saints approached him and said, hey man, listen, we love everything you've done for us, but we got to let you go. And he's like, well, I want to make one more run. What if I went to league minimum? Do you have a spot for me? And they were, hell yeah, we do. You know, so I don't know any other reason why it would have been that way. But the other guy, are you talking about Roby?
Oh, yes. Roby. Okay. Roby got extended. Yes.
Roby was making $10 million a year. Right. We spent a lot of time talking about this quarterback stuff. And so I'm trying to get away from the quarterback thing. Mm. But
it
all relates to one another, right? So everyone thought that perhaps Paulson Adebo was in the trade talks for Watson. So that's why they redid Roby. But then the contract numbers came out. He was set to make $10 million. He now accepted a new contract making about $3 million a year, which right. puts him right there at a great third cornerback depth guy for a good solid cornerback. So any comments on those guys before we talk about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who also has ties to yes. the quarterback situation?
So that's what I was going to just bring up, too, because it seemed like he was in his feelings for sure. And I was right there with him because I was like, I don't want Chauncey getting traded. I want him. Don't trade him.
No, so, you were big on that one.
Yes. And so, yeah, he removed all of his little pictures and all that kind of stuff from the Saints. So I'm hoping we end up redoing his deal and extend him out.
It can our official position of this podcast be that we are very pro CD Deuce?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Now, having said that, I wouldn't have let not so pro that I would let him get in the way of picking up Watson if everything was where it wanted to be. But what's interesting about this is, what happened? Because the Browns did not send any players. Actually, right. the compensation, the contract was the huge issue.
Yes, that was
the compensation was like three first rounders. And what else was there? Maybe a third rounder. There wasn't any second rounders.
Third and a fourth also. But mm-hmm. I mean, they're not paying the contract. What do the Browns, what do the Texans care about what they're going to pay Watson? That's not part of the deal.
No. But what I'm saying is I'm looking at it from perspective if the Saints would have gotten him.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, the Saints could have spent the same in draft picks. We just couldn't have given them the same paycheck. And
right.
Why would the Texans care about the paycheck? He's not their problem anymore at that
point. No. So I don't think that there may have been discussions about players, but in the end, it's obvious that if we could have ponied up with the contract, he probably would have came to New Orleans and we wouldn't have had to give up any players. So I'm trying to figure out why we can try to figure the coincidence is too close to say, oh, he was mad about something else. He deleted all Saints related stuff. There were rumors about him being part of the trade.
Right.
And all of a sudden he's upset. Right. So could it have been, Craig, did he hear the rumors and go to the Saints and say, man, are y'all trying to trade me? And the Saints were actually honest and said, well, your name's coming up in discussion, and it pissed them off.
I mean, they probably went to the player. They probably said, this is a situation where they're talking about going after a quarterback and you might be part of the situation. I mean, it's not likely that he read on Twitter that somebody said, oh, well, they're going to want a young player. CD Deuce is a young player.
No, I mean there was
some. I'm guessing the organization kind of tipped their hat to him. Like, hey, you know what? You're a part of things here, but if this is an opportunity, you're going to go.
So do you tell them the truth?
I think they might. This is the Saints we're talking about. This is not the normal organization. This is not the normal shady bunch of Dallas Cowboy bullcrap that a lot of these teams go through. Like, the Saints have been very upfront with their players.
Dale, if it was me, I'd have been like, what? They said, come on, man. You my boy. You think we would ever trade you?
Right.
Hey, man, I'll talk to you too. Hold on. Hey, man, you just got traded to Houston. I mean, you know, sorry.
It's a shame, man. It really is a shame. But you know what? Overall, I really want us to stop giving like the full press on getting guys because it never works out for us.
It
like,
doesn't.
We roll out the red carpet several times and we get left stranded. You know, I remember the whole thing with Sue. I remember reading on Twitter, he's at this restaurant with Sean Payton and they're having this for dinner. Like I was reading all that crap and he ended up somewhere else. And it just happened again with OBJ and now this. We got to stop doing this. Like we had Gail Benson out there meeting with this guy twice.
I can't
believe
it.
I heard she showed up in a white doctor's coat and some baby oil and rubber gloves. Talking about come to New Orleans. Now, I don't know. I heard through
the. All we had to send was more masseuse, some massage folks We'd have gotten him here in a lot of that.
Oh, I got to tell y'all, I have this bell loaded up and y'all just not saying anything that makes me want to ring the bell. So if y'all please pick up your game so I can use my
bell. I'm still mad about your bell being on my show, so I'm going to avoid that bell at all costs.
So y'all please say something profound so I can...
Look, this whole Deshaun Watson thing, it came up and it blew all over so fast. The Saints are right where we thought they were going to be anyway. We have our draft picks. We have free agents. If anything, we have more money available to sign free agents than we expected to have because of all these Deshaun Watson restructures we did. The Saints are in a better position right now for free agency than they were when free agency started, arguably. The fact that we're not doing anything with it is a little concerning, but we've only really known for a day that we could use this money. Until last night, we thought we were spending that money on Deshaun Watson.
I don't think the Saints were going to be the day one active anyway. So I don't think it hurt us at all to miss. We found out on Friday, there's still guys out there. You'd have been like, oh, well, hey, man, we just re-signed Armstead. Because here's the thing that people don't understand. And I hear, oh, the Saints are. You think the Saints are just sitting there and not talking to anybody, not working anything, don't have backup plans? I bet you they talked to Winston a couple of times during this process, yeah. You know, and said, look, man, we are going after him, but it may not work. And if it doesn't, we still would like for you to be part of this team. We can do good things with you. You know, so the point is they not stupid, man. It's a good organization, but they still didn't sign anybody. So my point is yours. That I don't think it hurt us at all. We weren't like, oh man, if we wouldn't have been in this mess, yeah, we would have totally
I think
signed.
In a way, the only way that I see that this directly hurts us is that there are guys like Terron Armstead who said they were going to wait to see what happened with Watson before 100%. He signed. So there's a chance that people were going to take cheap, cheap contracts to come and play with what they saw as a loaded roster, kind of do that, what Tampa Bay did, what LA Rams did, you know, and kind of build one of these little one-year super teams that falls apart. I think we might be missing out on guys like OBJ and Terron Armstead because we didn't have that big splash quarterback.
No, well,
I wouldn't be surprised if some of those guys end up in Cleveland.
I'm gonna take it further. I mean, forget about big splash. How many good solid NFL quality number two receivers are like, man, dude, y'all got a lot of good stuff over there, but who's your quarterback? Yeah. And you know, even if it was Jameis Winston, hypothetically, they might be able to make a decision and say, well, you know, I'm not a big fan, or, you know, I'm just assuming they might be. Let's just assume it's something negative. I'm not a big fan, but, you know, you give me enough money, I think we can work with this, you know, and you got good defense and I could be part of that. But you like literally looking at it now, what receivers like, oh, yeah, I totally ready to go play for the Saints as offensive skill position, not knowing who the quarterback is. It's killing us not having that guy.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm sure that's what happened last year with not getting OBJ, the fact that we didn't have that quarterback. Sure. And so, yeah, it's really happening again this season. I'm still looking at the wide receiver market. And I saw Juju's got 1 year, $10 million, like a couple days ago or something like that. And he's like one of the premier wide receivers that's free. So the market is still pretty low for wide receiver. I still think we can obtain somebody. And it won't be a whole bunch of money, but yeah, it will help a lot if we have an actual quarterback that we can point to. This is going to be the guy.
Yeah. It just being in this holding pattern, and it makes you wonder. And, you know, I could pop on Twitter right now and see that there's no rumors. The Saints aren't tipping their hand. Nothing. There's just nothing. There's no talks. There's not a rumor about the Saints being involved in some type of trade conversation. Are they going to jump into the Baker Mayfield thing? But here's the thing I've always tried to point out that I think people lose sight of. The draft comes and they're like, man, this guy was in the fourth round. Why didn't they get him? And you look and you say, who on the Saints current roster are they better than? So why draft a guy who's, I love that linebacker out of Florida State, but whose spot is he going to take in the fourth round? You think he's good enough to take over any one of these guys? No. So we didn't get him. Now he turns into a good, but at the time you didn't know it. And that's when people saw, I wonder now, I don't want to say have to believe, because that's not what I think. What are they saying? Draft one? I mean, golly, man.
I'm hoping that's the plan. Like, they've got a stacked draft board and these guys are actually going to work out. But, you know, I have no idea what the direction is right now. When I looked at the list of visits, like past couple of days, I didn't see New Orleans on there anywhere. So no free agents are really coming in to take a look at us. I think it's because we've really been just messing around with this Deshaun Watson thing for the most part. And we're not, we haven't really had the, I guess, like the detail work of visiting.
See, I just don't believe that, Dale. I'm sorry, man. I don't believe that the Saints were just sitting there and had every person in their organization solely waiting to hear from Deshaun.
There's no way.
Yeah, I feel you. That's what it feels like, though. I agree. That's what it feels like, but I can't see it. It just, that would be incompetence on a level of, I couldn't even comprehend for a professional business of any sort. Right.
It was a full court press. They had owner out there, GM, the coach, everybody was there.
I know, but you have a whole scouting department. You have, you have coaches, you have, and here's the thing. They went for that one trip, Dale. I mean, that didn't take them, but one evening, you know, what were they doing all day?
This felt like we've been waiting for this for a month, Dave.
I agree with you. Okay. I agree that's how it feels, but I'm just not willing to jump on the sanction. The reason we not sign anybody is because, but it feels like that. I agree with you. I agree with that.
Well, how many of us heard Deshaun Watson rumors before the criminal charges got dropped? You know, it seemed like the Saints kind of jumped up out of nowhere, right?
Yeah,
sure. But it turns out that we've been inquiring about him for over a year. So the fact that we don't know about these rumors doesn't mean that they're not happening. It doesn't mean that these conversations aren't happening. It means that we ain't heard about it yet.
True. Right. And sometimes it's, man, when you go back and think about the Russell Wilson thing, I mean, maybe because I'm not from Denver or Seattle, I really wasn't. But all of a sudden it's like, oh, he got traded. Like, oh, God, you know. So, but I feel like this, what do you call it, dog and pony show. They had to create it because probably at first people like we are like, well, I mean, he's good, but maybe I'm just going to give him I'll give you a first rounder for him. But, I got to protect myself. And then by the time you get him worked up in a frenzy and like, now you're like, okay, five first rounders. So I give you my kids and my car and, you get all excited. And the next thing you know, it worked. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cleveland literally backed out, and you have to believe they were sitting there and he's like, oh, this, that, and the other. And they hear the rumors. I'm sure there's this whole conversation going on behind the scenes, and they just looked at it and they turned to each other and said, man, neither one of these teams can give. And this is all about the money. And they like, do it. And then, hey, Deshaun, we'll give you $230 million all guaranteed. Okay. Where do I sign? That shit went from, oh, I need the weekend to think about it, to like, I'll be there in a minute. Hold up. Let me get my coat.
You'll need one going to Cleveland where it's snowy and terrible.
I wonder, are we going to have like those commercials where, you know, Baker lives in the stadium? So are we going to have commercials with him moving out of the stadium?
Oh, those are good commercials too. That's a shame.
Yeah, he's gonna. We also offer insurance for moving vehicles.
Oh, man. So you don't have like the awkward commercial where he has to hand over the keys.
Yeah.
And he looks around like you do at your last look at your house that you grew up in, but you sold because you need to move to a different house, you know. But this one won't be the happy one where it's too small for all the kids. This will be the one where you're like, I'm moving out of this nice house for a ratty apartment.
Unless that ratty apartment is a Superdome, in which case you watch.
No, that's a move up. So I listen. It wouldn't surprise me at all based on what you guys just said to point out that I'm like, oh, we haven't heard. And then like after the show, we'll pick up the phone. Like usual, they announced the Saints.
We've guaranteed by recording this early in the morning, we have guaranteed the Saints are signing someone today.
Yeah. This afternoon, it's going to blow up. Yeah. So, but then that's what we have a beer run for, right?
True.
You guys jump on and give the people what they want. Breaking opinions about yesterday's news. That's what we do here. Anyway,
to record the beer run, I'm gonna have to run down to the liquor store real quick and then back, and it's a literal beer run for a beer run.
Yeah, well, that's where the whole name came from. It's like, hold up, man, can you give me another 15 minutes? I gotta do a beer run. It's like, it's no, okay. What else we got to touch on? You know what's funny? We could talk about the draft. Haven't thought about. I do five or six mock drafts every day.
Okay, but until yesterday, we were planning on spending all of our draft picks.
But Brian, what do you need to do
about it? I'm worried about the draft.
Yesterday, man, I went to get on the mock draft simulator, and it was like, you need to log in again.
Yeah.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, so let's kind of dig in a little bit to this free agency thing, and we've talked about it in general. Craig, tell us who's still out there that would even be, you know, I hate saying it like that because, yeah, they're big names, but they're good, solid players that make you a better team that aren't necessarily big names. So who's out there that may be the same?
Absolutely. And the biggest name, I'm using the CBS NFL free agency tracker for visual assistance here. The biggest free agent available guy we may have heard of is Terron Armstead, an offensive tackle.
I heard
if you're familiar with his work, can be very, very good for the 5 or 6 games that he's on the field.
I heard he's talking to Miami, casual talks. But listen, man, that thing with Deshaun Watson's over. Listen, I love Terron, but what you just mentioned there, it's only, I mean, teams have to be saying, man, we'd love to have this guy when he's healthy. But yeah, there has to be some type of, man, you know, you got to hinge your bet a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's an elite talent, but he's also a natural leader and a clubhouse kind of look up to him. And I think that his issues staying on the field, his injury issues and his leadership almost offset, and you're left with just a good player for the people who are looking at. That's just my opinion. Maybe I overvalue the guy. But getting away from him, everybody knows, you know, Terron Armstead, listen to this show. Big names are still out there. Stephon Gilmore, the corner that was with New England for 11 years. He's available. I don't think he's a fit for us, though. Our corner situation seems pretty well handled. Linebacker, I kind of feel the same way. Bobby Wagner is available, a guy that a lot of folks probably want around. Don't think he fits with us necessarily. Tyrann Mathieu is still available. We just signed a free safety, but as the listeners of this show will know, he's more of a strong safety anyway. He plays down by the line in the box a little bit more. He's available
based on,
still.
Based on signing the kid that we signed from the Jets, his name is Marcus.
Marcus Payne.
Yeah, yeah. That's easy when he's the same name as the last guy he replaced. But Craig, you mentioned that, you know, how comfortable are you with having two new guys? Because if you bring in Honey Badger, you are now replacing Jenkins. Now you've replaced both of your starting safeties. Yeah,
exactly. And the secondary is a lot like the offensive line in that you can have the best players out there. If they're not communicating and if they're not playing with each other, it doesn't really matter how good they are. You know, they have to work as a unit. And that could be he's an elite talent, Mathieu, at least in my opinion. But it would be a big ask to have that defense return to that whole cohesion that it had with two new safeties calling plays in the backfield.
Well, speaking of offensive line, I mean, what do y'all think about Lyle Collins, the tackle?
LSU, oh boy, I wonder what that's
like. I wonder why he came up. It's interesting.
Hey, listen, quite frankly, I told you that the Saints have to have a plan B at guard. Not only do we have an injury-prone Pete, Ruiz has not lived up to expectations. Now, here's the thing. Maybe I'm just too positive about this stuff. He could still develop. He's young. You know, maybe he didn't play guard. Maybe he gets stronger, he gets bigger and improves. But I'm not willing – I'm no longer willing to just say that's probably going to happen. I'm going into this saying – we got a plan for when it doesn't, right? He comes in, he's a starter. You better have somebody that you can say, look, we need to start working this guy in here. So if Collins could come at a reasonable price, but hell, if you pay some good money to him, he's almost guaranteed. I'm not just talking about Collins. You pay good money to any guard to come in, he's replacing Ruiz, who won't now get a chance to prove himself, right?
Yeah.
And there are a couple of big name tackles out there, but the guard market is real thin. A couple of guys that came up have already signed elsewhere. So that might be something you have to address in the draft if you're looking at another piece of that interior line. I mean, Trent Brown, the offensive tackle, is available. Dwayne Brown, the offensive tackle, is available. There's a lot of tackles still floating around, but
they seem all to be
guys getting snapped up.
Yeah. Dwayne Brown's old. He's like 37, man. Like,
He's 36. Thank you very much. And who on this show is going to say 36 is old?
No, that's a young type, man.
I mean, go ahead and apologize to Dave over here.
Yo, in NFL, that's old. All right.
Oh, yeah. Old man. In real world, that's nothing.
Here's a couple of defensive linemen that might be interesting. Akeem Hicks is a free agent. Ooh. And Cam Jordan has been recruiting him on Twitter.
Oh, and okay, Craig, I've said this on a few occasions. You made a big impact on me when you made your point, Dave, about defensive tackle. And if you're looking at the defense and you wanted to take the next step, the one place where you could make a significant gain would be someone next to Onyemata. And if they got Hicks, that's a game changer in the middle. That defense would go from being, you know, top five to, you know, top three. And I know that don't sound like a lot, but the point is that, you know, you could be number six, but the gap between five and six is huge. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely. And the Saints have already started to address that interior defensive line. We just signed that defensive tackle Street from the Niners. Yeah. So we've already looked at that as an issue, but a guy like Hicks could really open up a lot of the outside rushers to single blocking. You know, if you can't slide extra help towards Davenport or to Jordan, all of a sudden those guys, we'll put it on an island, are much more dangerous.
Yeah, Street was the guy that laid on Breeze's ribs.
Yeah, I was going to try to shift me and just not really. I was going to skip that part.
Yeah, I see what you did.
Bygones be bygones. Right. Breeze ain't here anymore.
Right. Breeze will whoop his ass in the locker room.
Hey, speaking of defensive ends we don't want to have any part of, and speaking of the red carpet we roll out, Jadeveon Clowney is available again.
Oh, stop it. Stop
No it. Interest whatsoever. I didn't even have interest the last time.
No, when they were talking about what they were doing, I'm like, look, that's, again, another guy. If you bring him at a good value, I'm like all excited about it. Now, I do accept that whatever my value is, add like 20% to it, then that's the real value. But the I mean, they were talking about doing a sign and trade and giving up, like, I forget what it was second round pick. I'm like, you've lost your mind. He is not that good a player. And he went to Tennessee and kind of proved that. I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's not solid. He's a decent player, but I'm not giving up that kind of capital for him.
Right.
No, and his ranking on this free agency list is a joke. It was made by someone who watched that play of him in South Carolina. And hasn't gotten that upset yet.
Indelible.
Here you go for Dale. Odell Beckham Jr., who went to a little-known Louisiana college that you may have heard of, he is still available, again, recovering from major injury that he sustained very late in the season. Mm-hmm. As late as possible in the season.
And the Rams went and got Allen Robinson, so he could be on his way out. So,
Well, I mean, he's a free agent. He's already on his way out. But does that make Woods a trade target now that they have this?
I've heard that. I've heard that he's available. He'll be available.
Coming off.
How about Dante Jackson? Is that a name listeners of the show would be familiar with?
Oh, yeah. Very good corner. Very good corner.
They show him here as free. I think I heard today he may have signed somewhere, though.
Yeah, but
James Winston is available.
Oh, no, that guy? Huh.
Leonard Fournette is available.
You know, we should probably look into
and
that.
You know what? Let me tell you what.
If we're talking about having a running back to eat up some carries, that's not a terrible.
No, I agree. I mean, listen.
I said it as a joke because he went to LSU, but that's not a bad fit.
No, it's not. And he's playing now. What I heard was that, you know, Tampa Bay's like, oh, let's re-sign you, and he's like, man, listen, I came over for that Super Bowl hometown discount, play with the GOAT, all that stuff. Right. Now I need to get paid.
That's right.
And so now, again, it's back to the James Woods thing. Everybody wants to get paid. The NFL is going to speak to you. They'll tell you this is your value. And having said that, that's a guy that I could see the Saints saying, hey, we think your value's here. Oh, no, I want to get paid big money. Okay, well, okay, let us know when you get it. And if you don't, come back. So you may see this is the first week of free agency. The second week of free agency is when reality hits these guys in the face who have their countdown ticker and, you know, some of them get the money. Some of them are like, oh Lord, reality is an ugly mistress.
But I mean, the running back market as a whole has been down. Like, you got Rashad Penny out there and Melvin Gordon out there as well. And I haven't heard really of any kind of visits or anything, you know, dealing with them.
And here's the thing, man. We already have a superstar running back, right?
Yeah.
But we all know that how at least we would like him to be used. Now, it has nothing to do with the Saints, but the point is that the Saints are now at the point where they are going to be relying on that running game. And I do not want to see the same thing that happened to Kamara last year happen again this year. Literally, if you put anybody other than Kamara, it might be a loss of yardage. Now, offensive line was real banged up too.
True.
But it does show you that a guy like him could pick up 3 yards with next to no blocking, but an average guy loses a yard.
Yes.
So we have to have somebody that you can give those carries to that can be at least somewhat effective, or else you end up having no choice. I mean, I felt it. Like, don't give them those carries and give it to somebody else. You're like, damn it, man, we got to put Kamara back in there. This is a waste of a snap.
Yep.
So, and I
think we've discussed this a little bit before, and I know we're trying to put off our draft talk until a little bit closer to the big dance, but I think that's something you got to address in the draft. You can get a serviceable, cheap running back, third, fourth round.
100%. And that's what I've been planning. That's how I'm approaching my mock drafts, is you can get a guy that probably, well, hell, it's been a long time now. 10 years ago, relatively speaking, would be a first or second rounder in the third and fourth round. You know, that's just how it works now. People devalue running backs. Having said that, we're going to rely on this guy. We're not going to have, we may not have Kamara for the first six games, right? That's kind of the common theme that's going on. Mm-hmm. So do you really want to have a rookie? And if it was the last six games, you might say he's ready. Do you want to have a rookie back there for the first six games? Now, we still have Ingram, but my point being is, I don't know, man. Maybe they want to bring in that veteran and somebody like Fournette. I'd be kind of excited and feel like that's him and Ingram can hold it down. Absolutely. And then when Kamara comes back, now you got those two guys to take snaps.
Well, my understanding is that the rookie crop isn't as great this year. So, yeah, I don't know if you're really going to get, you know, something really fabulous in the fourth or fifth round at running back. But I mean, yeah, I will say every year, just about, the Saints find some undrafted rookie free agent running back who ends up being pretty decent. And so maybe this continues that trend.
Yeah, whoever the next Chris Ivory is going to be is going to be real fun.
Right.
All right. Anything else, fellas? I feel like we've covered quite a bit of ground today.
I'm pretty good. I did see where Julio Jones got cut, and I'm wondering if he's going to decide to cut his hamstrings.
Oh yeah,
with that, because they always seem to give him problems.
Could you imagine the Falcon fan reaction if he went to the Saints and the Saints won the Super Bowl with Julio Jones?
Okay, we didn't talk about this. I'd like to touch on it, and I was ready to close the show out. I'm going to touch on this real quick. We talked earlier about Matt Ryan. I would have zero problem if the Saints signed him, and that would be the biggest look to me. And I know he's older. I feel like if we can get him for no draft compensation, I don't think Atlanta would trade him to us anyway. But if he gets cut and we could sign him for a reasonable contract, and I'm talking reasonable, like $15 million, maybe less, for like,
oh yeah, pocket change.
For a quarterback. 15 for 3 years, you know, and knowing that he's not going to make the whole 3 years and be the bridge quarterback, because everyone on this list that we've talked about, two of them to me have like that, at least I feel like maybe they could still develop, and that's Mayfield and it's still Winston.
Right.
With him, I know what Garoppolo is. He is not going to be anybody different. He'll be a solid quarterback. Matt Ryan will be the same thing for no compensation. Could he be the bridge quarterback? We put ourselves in a position to draft a quarterback next year.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Guy, any thoughts?
It's going to be tough to draft a quarterback drafted in 32nd. I'm just not sure who's going to still be there at 32.
This is like extreme optimism here.
I mean, you put Matt Ryan on this roster and we replace some of the pieces. We get a couple of weapons. And yeah, I don't know what quarterback of the future you're going to find at 32. That's all.
But Brady got drafted in what, the fourth round, sixth round, something
like that? Yeah. How many years ago was that? We're going to talk about that sixth round pick 20 years after the fact.
I know, boy. Everybody still, I'm willing to go in the sixth round, Brady. I mean,
oh, well, Marcus Colston was seventh round.
Right. Yeah. Right.
How many years ago? 2006. Get out of here.
No, people hang on to that. Or it's the same argument with the quarterback thing. Well, these guys won Super Bowls. And it's like, since then, do you know how many guys didn't win a Super Bowl? So I'm not willing. It's all about percentages. Yeah. A guy who you can get that's a top prospect, you're going to get him. You're going to have to be in the top 10. So yeah, the lower they're going around, the lower that percentage is. Even a top 10 guy, you see what happens, man? They wash out in a couple of years, you know. Matter of fact, I came up with this theory last night. Do you know a quarterback that has lasted – that didn't play well in his second year that ended up being a really good quarterback? I couldn't think of any. Now, again, I may not have paid close enough attention, but guys who are going to be good are usually, they still make mistakes or whatever, but they're like, you could tell they're going to be a superstar in their second year. Fair?
Yeah. I'm honestly going to try to research that and try to figure out an answer for that.
Well, you know what? I bet you if you looked into that, and I will too, and Craig did, maybe there'd be a beer run in the future, near future, that might give us the answer to that. But that's my theory.
In the beer future?
In the beer future. That's my theory. And I think that, I didn't do any research, but I'm off the top of my head. I'm like, I can't think of a guy that's like, man, in his third year, man, he blew up and is now a top. And I hate saying top 10, because quite frankly, once you get past the first seven, top 10 isn't always the best. Right. Kirk Cousins is a top 10 quarterback, you know. So
really, that was my argument that Kirk Cousins was top 10.
Stop it. All right. Well, anyway, that's all the show that we have for you this week. I want to thank Craig. I want to thank Dale. Don't forget, the beer run is what we're doing. It's hosted by these two gentlemen, doing an outstanding job, a little bit of everything, you know, in off season. They talk a little bit about the movies, talk about beer, which is ironic since this whole,
right.
I got to say this, maybe people don't know. When I came up with the name BS and Beer, it wasn't because we were trying to talk about beer. It was more basically saying guys having a beer, shooting the bull. Right. Mm. And so everybody's like, well, why don't y'all talk about beer? I'm like, well, that was never really what it was. But you guys, on the other hand,
we have rectified this mistake.
Yes.
We talk about beer every episode.
Come for the Craig, beer, stay for the bad takes.
For Craig Wright and Dale Mims, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we will talk to you the next time we record.
Who that?
Who that?
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us, bsandbeer@icloud.com.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, girl, give your time to David, Heath, and Thomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.